Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it is treating you good for this May 24th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Morning, Terry.
And it's not Friday.
It's not Friday. I know it's weird.
Sorry, people. It's really Wednesday.
it's going to throw a number of people for a loop, including myself. But we got the band back together, and we're going to have some fun. Terry and I are going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. Looking forward to that one. We are going to tell you about Kraft changing some packaging that they're doing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not sure
it's
about that.
It's not the mac and cheese.
No, I don't think it's the mac and cheese.
Okay.
But they are changing some packaging. So we're going to get into that a little bit. We've got the top things that can give a room a good vibe or a bad vibe.
Oh, I like that.
I think that'll be a fun one. And we'll kick things off in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Michael's been joining us so far this
week.
I
have been hearing that.
I think Paul might have the week off. Good for Paul.
I think Michael catches you off guard the last two mornings.
Yes,
because
did.
All of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, he did.
And you guys don't... I'm good. I mean, I'm happy to, but you guys just don't give Michael the same hard time you give Paul.
Because
today, we're going to...
Michael, I have tried this over the years.
I know,
I have learned over the years of working with Michael. Paul and Michael, two very different people.
We're going to have something that we need to talk to Michael about today.
We've
got to Michael
find
today.
His niche. You know, we've had a couple. Nikki was hockey. We've had other... Or it was soccer. You know, we just got to find his niche.
I think we can catch him
is. Because
of this being the holiday weekend. Maybe we can ask him what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Good at that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. After we're done putting Michael on the spot and making him uncomfortable, because he does not like improvising.
Well,
he does not like.
It's part of the gig.
It is. After all that, we're going to talk about the 10 rudest things you can do at the pool this summer.
Not my pool, please.
No. Definitely not doing any of these things at the John's pool. No. We are going to get into that. We, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And after Melissa's news, we're going to have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's Phil Day. Wow.
Get some of that in today. It's going to be fun. 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news. Then a Write Stories, Good Stories of the Day. All of these things coming up for you. Terry, I want to dive right into, like we usually do, information and stuff going on with United Way. But I did want to comment really quickly that I appreciate the ALICE report and the meeting coming up about that. I know it's not till June or and everything, but I did want to put that seed in people's heads, let that tree grow, because I think it's a meeting, a get together, an event that I feel like a lot of people should be attending.
Yeah, so our ALICE report, which is a report commissioned by United Way of Wisconsin that we put out every 2 years, prepared by Rutgers University. So, a credible source as well as, tons of credible data. But it's a report on really underemployment in our state, which breaks down by the county level and then down to the township. So you can actually see how many households within our community might be falling underneath the federal poverty guideline, but then also underneath what we call the ALICE threshold. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So people in our community who are working, who, maybe are doing just fine, but really aren't making enough to, maybe start having an emergency fund or be thinking about some sort of savings or that kind of thing. And so what we find with the new report that released the last week of April is that 40% of the households in Wood County, so 4 out of 10, that's significant,
yeah.
40% of the households in Wood County fall below the ALICE survival budget. And so the data's out there. You can visit our website. You can see the ALICE dashboard. You can look at the whole report, which is, a little over 100 pages. Or both.
Mm-hmm.
You can attend. We're having a couple of presentations around the ALICE report. And, really, what is it? What is the data? What does it represent? What does it mean for our community? And then kind of what is the call to action? What is something? And you can come. I don't want to scare people by saying that, because then I don't want people to not come because they think we're going to ask them to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Because really what we're asking is for you to be informed, right? First and foremost, just understand. Maybe it builds your empathy a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's our thoughtful process of how we treat, our fellow community members. It also might help us think through how we donate, how we give of our things. What I mean? Maybe we have stuff that we're going to sell, but we could just give it to somebody who really needs it, or some different thought processes like that. But we will be doing these presentations on June 22nd at McMillan Memorial Library. We have one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and then we have another one on Tuesday, June 27th, down in Adams Friendship at the Adams Community Center. So lots of details about it can be found at our website. You can also always connect with Ben at United Way. Ben kind of oversees this community engagement part of our work, and it's completely open to the public. Like I said, we're at the library in the all-purpose room. We hope that you will come and listen. The presentation is probably 30, 35 minutes, and then there's plenty of time for question, answer, you know, just an opportunity to engage with each other and talk about this and what we've learned. This is our fourth iteration of the report, so we've been doing this for 8 years, and it is interesting to see the different trend lines, you know, where things were. And these numbers are, you know, from 2021. So this is pandemic numbers.
Yeah.
So that's interesting as well. And then, you know, our next iteration will be post-pandemic numbers. So that'll also be interesting to see, you know, where people have landed post-pandemic and with the changes, especially in the economy that we've all felt. You know, the cost of goods, you go to the grocery store, you feel that. And it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone is noticing a difference. So just a really great opportunity to just be informed. And so we invite people to, again, join us June 22nd or June 27th, open to anyone in really any community.
Knowledge is how you get things done. You learn things, and this is great for citizens, especially when it comes to those that are either struggling in this or are on the other side of it, and they don't have this. Either way, you hope that it creates some empathy in the society and our community. You hope that it gives some understanding. But there is the action part of it that you touched on, too. And that's where groups, especially like the United Way, is able to take this information and say, all right, there's a lot of things that we need our attention in this community. Which ones need it the most?
Right.
And which ones are getting the least attention? This data, it goes so much farther than numbers. And really action. It's what it ends up in.
Yeah, and so when United Way is funding programs in the community, I mean, this is the population where we really want those investments that community members make. These are the populations that we want to serve most. And I think it's also important to call out that there's plenty of households, so again, I said 40%, but plenty of those households that are doing just fine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've, you know, figured it out using what income they have for what. But I think where there sometimes is a challenge is, let's say that there's some sort of financial crisis. Car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
You need the car to get to work. If you don't go to work, you can't pay your bills, but you have nothing to pay for the car repair. You know, so there's that. And then where does that money come from? Well, if I pay to get the car fixed, then I don't pay maybe my childcare or my utilities or my rent, or, you know, there's these really tough decisions that have to be made about what don't I pay to pay this. And that's where we'd really like to see the financial stability side of it strengthen.
Right.
So that even a $1,000 emergency fund can really go a long way. So having that in place is I think important. And so I just, you know, always want to make sure that we call out that there's plenty of that 40% that are doing just fine.
Yeah.
But they're one crisis away from a hardship, which then snowballs.
Which, now maybe, because you brought a lot of good things up there, and I agree with all of what you were saying. The other part of it, too, is that let's take that 40%. Let's say that, you know, 10 out of 20 families are doing okay. They found a way to make things work. You're telling me that they're not up at night worrying about that one disaster.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying you're not. I mean, generically.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
directly
at you.
But for sure.
So just that alone, when we talk so much about mental health these days and everything, but we need to put action behind it. And part of it is people, like, we shouldn't have to settle. We shouldn't have to just be, well, at least I'm getting by. Like, that's okay. That's good. And I think we all understand that there are points in time when we're like that. It's called our 20s. It's, but at a certain point, you're supposed to get to a point where you don't have to go to bed every night worrying, God, I hope the car doesn't break down.
Yeah.
God, the refrigerator's making a weird noise. Please don't go on my refrigerator. I can't afford it. That shouldn't be the American life. That should not be anybody's life.
And you should have peace of mind,
yeah,
right? I mean, that should just be. So, again, great opportunity. We encourage people that are, you know, are interested, are curious, you know, to come and learn more.
Plenty other things going on with our United Way that I wanted to touch on. Wanted to make sure that everybody knows about Stuff the Desk registration that is open right now. Be sure to do that.
Yes, so you can register for free school supplies. If you qualify for free and reduced lunch, you qualify for free supplies. go to our website, uwswac.org, and click on the banner and then get registered for school supplies. That is a first come, first serve as far as your time slot for pickup. Mm-hmm. So we do encourage you to register early. And also, you know what? Register before school lets out in the next week or so, because then... Yeah. You know, people's worlds just kind of get crazy in the summer, right? Yeah. So just get it checked off and get that one thing done.
And we're going to touch more on these as we get closer to June. A lot of, you know, big month for you guys in June. So we're going to be talking a lot of United Way about coming up in the next couple of weeks here. I did want to touch on this before we go to a break. City of Wisconsin Rapids and American Legion Post 9 have announced their second annual Veterans Honor Walk. This is a great thing for our community, great thing for our veterans, a great thing just all around. Love that they do this.
Yeah, I do too.
Want us doing this the rest of existence. I don't ever want this to end. We should be doing this every year on the dot. To celebrate the unveiling of this year's Veterans Honor Walk, the American Legion Post 9 will host an informal gathering at McMillan Memorial Library at 490 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids on May 26th from 2 to 4. So keep that in mind. That'll be coming up here on Friday.
Friday,
yep. Yes. So Friday over at McMillan, got a chance for you to see this unveiled and to kind of to get a little bit more information on this. And every time you learn a little bit about this, pay a little more attention to this. I think it's a tip of the hat to our veterans.
Absolutely.
And a big appreciation to them and a big shout out to our community. And, of course, American Legion Post 9, Mayor Blazer and his staff and everybody for making this happen once again. We will take a break right here, come back with our National Day of Calendar and plenty more on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Terry and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic start to your Wednesday out there. I got to keep remembering that it's Wednesday with Terry, and I'm used to Thursday or Friday or something like that. Let's dive into our National Day of Calendar so we know what day it is. It'll just help us with
doesn't
that.
Doesn't matter.
That's
I mean.
The only reason we do this segment, really, is so we go, okay, it's the 24th. It's the 24th, everybody. You know, May 24th is what the day we're diving into for today, and is National Tiara Day.
Oh, all you princesses out there.
Yeah, enjoy your tiaras. I have never worn a tiara. I don't know what.
They are very pretty. Like that one that's up there is very pretty.
They seem like a good headband. They seem like they'd hold your hair back.
Although I think they don't. I think they go on after. You know what I mean? Like all the hair's done and then it goes. So I don't really think it holds anything anywhere.
Probably not.
But it looks nice. I mean, I don't really need to see people just walking around in them. But when there's a reason to wear them.
Yeah, when's that fashion trend going to kick in where everybody's just walking around with tiaras?
It'd be kind of fun, actually.
It'd be different. It's something different, at least. It is National Escargot Day.
You like that?
I have never had escargot. I do not. I have a feeling, even though I have not had it, and I encourage people along with myself, I'm trying to be better about trying new foods and everything. Nah, I ain't doing that.
I have tried. tried it, like a taste. You know what I mean? Like I probably didn't even do it justice. But I don't know if it's just weirds me out because of what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I could enjoy it because I just, not that I have an affinity for snails, but I just, I don't know. It's just weird to me.
It's hard to say I have an affinity for snails, but I do. In my fish tanks that I have, I usually have snails, and they're cool. They're awesome, and they do a great job cleaning the tank. They're awesome.
They're
very
kind
hard workers.
And they're kind of slimy. Why would you want that in your mouth?
Ugh. Yeah, I don't. I do. I want to know, was it desperation or just sheer boredom with the first guy that ate a snail. The first guy that looked at a snail and like, you know what? That's going to be good.
Maybe it was survival.
Look, I don't mean anything. I like cows. My youngest daughter, it's her favorite animal in the world. Cows, I could see it. Like, all right, I could turn that into something. I might be able to, you know, I get it. I get that. Look at how they're built. I'm sorry, but they're built that way. I've never looked at a snail or anything even like that where you're like, huh, I wonder how good that will be. I wonder if it was desperation or boredom that it led to that. I don't know. We may never know.
You know, they kind of look like macaroons on the screen there.
Yeah, they make them look good on the screen in front of Terry and I. They're all brown and they get the nice green, almost
nice green,
like guacamole or whatever that is in there. I don't know anything about escargot.
I was going for mint, but I guess guacamole.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right, you're probably right. Our archaeological evidence has left traces of this type of heliculture going back to thousands of years. So people have been eating snails for a long time.
I can see that, right? Gatherers and foragers, right? But I don't know. Eeh. I'll pass.
Well, speaking of gathering and foraging, National Scavenger Hunt Day is today.
Cool. You know, I just have to tell you, I have to brag a little bit. So the Donate for Life scavenger hunt that Jill Dillon kind of heads up, the organ donor one, for the first 2 years, our team won first place.
Nice.
It's super fun, though, you know, because it's just like, oh, find a purple. I remember one of them that we had to find a building that was painted purple, and then you have to take your picture in front of it. And it's like... A purple building.
I'll never forget my, it was like the only birthday I ever really remember enjoying growing up. And we didn't get a chance to celebrate my birthday very often. But we did, like the first year I was in Rapids, my parents had a sleepover and I got to invite a bunch of kids over and everything. They had all these plans for us. We got a huge snowstorm. And so they're like, that was out the window or whatever. They were trying to think of something to do. And my dad and mom come up with a scavenger hunt for us. And, you know, we couldn't go too far around the block or anything. And it wasn't anything too hard. But I remember, like, certain things being on there.
Yeah.
And I just, like, just randomly, you know, asking for yarn or something like that. But I also remember there being, like it was Monopoly pieces. That it was on there, like something like that.
Was it all the pieces you guys were missing for your game?
It was the pieces we were missing. It was my father was trying to get like the little shoe.
Trying to fill the game. That's so bad from your neighbors.
So bad. but it was a really fun time. We had a blast doing that.
And that was back when you could actually do that, like knock on your neighbor's door and be like... Yeah, I'm doing the scavenger hunt. I need this. Yeah. You know, now it's like,
That's what I was just thinking about. Yeah. I'm like, well, I wonder if kids are still. Oh, no, kids are not still doing that. Kids are not doing that anymore.
But
adults, maybe. Adults can get away with it. That is a shame, but it's also I feel like it's a shame. I also feel like we got away with it a lot longer than I thought we should have. Like we were letting little kids, like kids, run up to strangers' doors and ask for sugar. this does not usually end well. I've seen a lot of fairy tales that begin that way. Like we're in a better place.
They are fun though.
They are a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. I don't think I do think, and I don't mean this in a mean way. I think that they are a little lost on kids. So I do think that they're almost better suited for adults.
Yeah, it is. But it is fun. I did this with my staff 1 year just for fun. It was they had to take a picture of the marquee of what or the sign for whatever business. So it was like, oh, this business supports United Way by doing blah, blah. And then they had to figure out what it was and go take a picture. And then I had some prizes. It was fun.
I like that. I say it's lost on kids, but then again, I remember it. But then again, I was a little serious adult, so that's probably part of it. Developed from a tradition of folk games throughout ancient history, the scavenger hunt has been around in its modern form in the U.S. for around a century. The game was made popular in the 1930s by New York gossip columnist and radio personality Elsa Maxwell. Around that time, the concept of the game was even featured in the 1936 film My Man Godfrey.
Very cool.
I forgot about that, yeah. By the 70s and 80s, college and university campuses had made the scavenger hunt their own. The University of Chicago scavenger hunt, called the Scav Hunt or Scav, was founded in 87 and continues to be held annually over 4 days in the month of May.
4 days.
Yes.
Can you imagine how much stuff is on that list?
It's an interesting one, too. I've known friends that have gone to Southern Illinois, go Salukis, and they talk about this.
Well, it's I suppose a huge thing. They probably work in a little bit of trivia with it. You know what I mean? You have to solve the...
They get local history.
Yeah, kind of solve the mystery of what it is that you're trying to gather.
And I imagine they adapt it every once in a while. But like, you know how we have our local museum here in town? They'll have people go to a museum. They'll have people go. Sure. So they're frequenting places and stuff. They do a nice job of that.
That is pretty cool. I don't know. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah,
definitely. We should do one.
I think we should start something like that. I think an annual scavenger hunt is a great idea. And it is the perfect event to get people to businesses. Hey, you got to pick up this. Look for salt packets. Misty's got them. Got on over to Misty's menu. You know.
I think though, don't try to replace your game pieces.
No, don't do that to people. Don't do that.
You're like, so bad. I need $500 Monopoly bills, yes, please. Yes. And you're not getting a bet.
Jimmy, I'm looking for the little shoe. I always like the shoe. I want to be the shoe.
I never liked the shoe. I was like the horse. Yeah. I was always the horse.
You were the horse? I was always the top hat.
Always the horse.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. And it is Brother's Day. Fantastic one. Get in touch with your brother, brothers, or someone you think of as one, and spend some quality time together in person or virtually. Plan a day out, have some beers or a movie, or just hang out and enjoy the time together. Especially, I think, as you get older, you don't get the chance to talk or hang out with your siblings nearly as much. Saw my brother last weekend, and it was just for a brief moment, but we do this thing to him and I, and Nick and I are very much alike in the way that we talk and the way that we kind of approach things. And so you could tell in our heads, both of us are coming to the conversation with a list. And so he goes, then I go, then he goes, then I go. And it's great, and we catch up, and we have no conversation because we're just catching up.
Just dumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you go. Oh, you go. And then by the time we're done, it's like, okay. A week or so ago, he joined me on the air for Playmakers. Because as I mentioned, and I will brag about every chance I get, my little brother works for the Wisconsin Herd, the Milwaukee Bucks G League team. He calls to talk about that and the awards that the Wisconsin Herd won and everything, and a big congratulations to them. We get done get done talking, and realize that's the most we've had a chance to talk in forever. It's weird, and it reminded us, hey, we got to make the effort for this.
Absolutely.
We miss talking, miss hanging out with each other. My brother is, there is no way I'm here without my brother and sister. They mean way too much, have done too much for me, and vice versa, I think, and I'm very thankful for my brother. And the people that I have, like my oldest friend, Chris. I've known Chris for over 30 years. He is my brother. His brothers and sister are my brothers and sisters. Like, I don't care about bloodlines or anything like that. He is definitely, like, especially with everything we put up with each other, we better be related. We better, at this point in the game. You know somebody 30-plus years?
You know where the bones are buried?
Yeah, like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
One goes down, you both go down?
Yep. Yep, that is the mutual agreement we have had for many, many years. Appreciate brothers. And it's a great day to reach out to siblings. And hey, if you don't have a brother but you have a sister, go ahead and cheat a little bit and reach out to your sister.
Wait till Sister's Day.
Yeah?
I don't know. Kidding.
There's never a bad opportunity to reach out to siblings and to get in touch with them, catch up with them, find out how they're doing. Let me see. One more for you. World Product Day. Attend one of Mind the Product's global events to learn how your business and others affect the economy and how you can do so beneficially. So you can also just like throw this into a search engine. You don't necessarily have to go to whatever this conference or meeting is that I don't really know much about. World Product Day is a good opportunity to learn. I think this is a big topic. There's a lot of products. Start small. Start with your favorite products or a product that you're looking around. You know what? I always wondered where this was from and looking into where it was from. There is a bill that was passed a while ago about consumer, being able to know online where things are coming from. I want to buy American products. I go online. I can't tell where things are from. Now there is a bill to tell us that, hey, this is where this is from. This is where this is from. Now, obviously, USA, USA. I am all about buying American products and all those things. But if other countries did that, we would be in sorry shape because we export a lot, and we wouldn't want another country doing that. So I really hope people are able to, when you get a product and, oh, it's from Taiwan, don't throw it away. give American products a first shot, I would say. I don't have any problem with that. But if you've got something that's been working and it's not from America, okay, you can use that product. Just keep buying American products. Like, it takes all of this to make this work. Our economy is not doesn't start and end here in our land. It is all over the world. And this whole, we especially right now, the whole world needs the whole world. Like, it isn't enough that we have each other's back in our communities and everything. As a world, we have to have each other's back. The pandemic hit everybody. And I know how tired everybody is hearing of saying that and everything. How tired are you looking in your wallet or looking in your bank account and everything and seeing rough times? I mean, all of us are in that same spot. We're not alone. They're dealing with it in Europe. They're dealing with it in Asia. They're dealing with it all over the world. If we try to do this thing, imagine if China did that. Imagine if other countries did that. You know what? We're not going to buy products from other countries. We're not buying from America anymore. They have a good idea over there. Just buying USA stuff, that's what we'll do. Good luck. Good luck, everyone. Because we're all in a bad space there. So
I think it's cool of it. Think about the origin of products too.
Yeah.
You know, when you figure out like something that you've used forever, but you've never really thought about like why was it invented or why is that a product, and then where did it come from? Not literally, physically, but where did it come from?
You know, the invention of said product.
Yeah.
Who came up with the ballpoint pen? I mean, that kind of thing. I have gone down so many rabbit holes just looking
into
how something's made. I'm with you. I find it very interesting. And I think that's where you can really focus on this day is that, hey, where did those little sleeves that we put on coffee cups to keep our hands, where did that come from? Who made that?
If your brain isn't, you know, that's not where you're inclined.
Yeah.
You know, production, manufacturing, that kind of thing. Like, to kind of look into it is, it's cool.
I think it's a good idea. We will take a break right here, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with nothing but fun on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
Wow. I am impressed. Seth is really, like, moving the mark here.
Yes, he is.
I'm free. You may wonder how. I can promise you now, this love that I feel for you always will be.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Terry and James here with you, along with one of the better, more recognizable voices in country music history. Even I know Mr. Travis.
One of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I liked it. I mean, not show why, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I shouldn't say his show wasn't bad, but I'm just saying he's not like action packed kind
Garth,
of show, but
you know, two different guys,
but good,
but good, yeah. I've seen plenty of concerts where the lead singer isn't necessarily bouncing all over the place and everything, it still gives you a heck of a show,
yeah.
That song is something that you could hear on the radio dial, and we're going to get into the radio right now. This is interesting news. AM Radio just scored a big win courtesy of America's second biggest car company. Ford announced they are reversing course and will not be removing AM radios from their new cars. If you didn't hear, at least 8 major car brands have been planning to ditch AM radio in their upcoming models.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that, but could it?
It's an underreported story, especially in radio.
On AM radio?
Yes, where nobody's talking about it. I brought it up, but I don't hear anybody else.
We're talking about it, but nobody can hear us.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Can't you hear me? I've been screaming at the top of my lungs, man. You wonder why my voice keeps going out. No. If you didn't hear, at least 8 major car brands have been planning to ditch AM radio in their upcoming models. They include Tesla, Mazda, BMW, Rivian, I've never heard of, Polestar, Volvo, Volkswagen, and Ford. Ford was the biggest of those 8, but their CEO announced yesterday that they're adding it back into all of their 24 models.
So I wonder, but I wonder why. Like, it doesn't take up space.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. What possible cost could there be?
It's a feature. I mean, you know,
that's what
if there's one thing car companies like, it's features. I would think that
I just can't think that it's, you know, like on my car on the little screen, there's, you know, there's AM, FM, Bluetooth, you know. And then there's even room for more. So
yeah,
why take?
Yeah.
I don't. That's weird.
They're going the wrong direction, and I'll touch on that in a second. Obviously, lots of people still listen to AM radio. Around 80 million people a month listen to AM radio. We already know this. Our listeners know that. We understand this. WFHR survived for 70 plus years just being on AM. 80 plus years just being on AM. And that's saying something. Because of that, lawmakers in D.C. have been pushing for car companies to keep it. Last week, they introduced a bill called the AM for Every Vehicle Act that would require all new cars to have AM radios. Wonderful. Great. That's really important.
Doesn't that sound so like, it sounds so weird, like Stone Age kind of. Like, I don't
it
get
does.
Why.
It does. Ford also offered a software update to add it back into 2 of its 23 electric vehicles, the Mustang Mach-E and the F-150 Lightning. It's not clear if the other car makers will reverse course or not, so stay tuned.
Huh? Mm.
That wasn't intentional. I will say this. They're going the wrong direction with this. You keep AM, you keep FM, and you give an option on there for streaming. or for Sirius or satellite or whatever. Like, include all three. Like, yeah, that's the way to do this. Make it easier for people to be able to flip from satellite to AM to FM, like you do from AM and FM. Like, make it simpler for that.
And my car does that. It has all those options. And it's not, I mean, it's not a new car by any means. It's like a 2017. But...
That's the idea of taking options for people. Like, if it's going to make the car cost $1,000 less, sure, okay, well, then I'm listening. But we know
it's an add-on option that you could pay for if there was a huge cost. But that was kind of what my question was. Like, how much could it actually be impacting the cost of the vehicle to have it or to remove it? It just seems very weird to me.
And like a lot of times, people that have money get in these bubbles, and they don't think about others. And, well, I'm not listening to AM radio, so nobody else must be. And they don't even bother to look into the fact that over 80 million, and this number is actually low, it's well over 80 million a month that listen to AM radio. You can go ahead, and that's not just me saying that on AM radio and FM radio, if we're streaming 24/7, both AM and FM. But it's more so what I... The data I do. I love this industry. I love radio. I've been in it 20 plus years. I'm good. If this is my last day in radio, I'll be okay. I could also do this another 40, 50 years. But I'm not saying in a dying industry. I'm not doing that. I don't believe radio is dying. I don't believe that it is at its last heartbeat or anything like that. And the numbers prove it. The numbers show that.
Okay, so if you're still here in 50 years, it's going to be, this is the morning show with James.
Welcome to the morning show with James.
Anyway,
cloud bothers me. I don't like that cloud. James is talking to clouds again, everybody.
But think about features, right, on anything. Like, for instance, the last time I had to buy a washer and dryer. I mean, I literally could right now control these things from my phone. It's to crazy. Me, that is just dumb. That makes no sense. If I'm going to go through the work of putting the stuff in there, then I'm just going to start it. But so I can see how some people are like, I don't need all of those extra features. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, radio selection isn't a extra.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just seems very odd.
It's not an extra feature. It's not. It should just be something that's in there. Plus, if we learned anything during the pandemic, the importance of being able to get information out there and how vital radio is for that, AM, FM. You can make the argument that it should be in vehicles for that purpose alone.
So on the other hand, though, AM listeners, if you have a vehicle that doesn't currently have AM, because they said there was some that it had been left out of, you could stream it. And then, because I'm sure if you've bought a car in the last 2 years, a brand new car, you can Bluetooth, right? So you could stream from your phone onto your, so you don't have to miss it, but why should you have to take the extra steps?
You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. But as far as extra steps go, we encourage our listeners to please take the extra step to stream us. That is, we have newish owners, and that's what they pay attention to. They are not paying attention to the digital. They are only paying attention to streaming numbers.
I stream at my desk.
We gotta remind our friends in Madison here and our people that how big our audience is. Let's show them how big our audience is. Let's show them the power up, because they're not listening to me. They'll listen to you. Go ahead and let them know. Stream us 24/7, even if you were just having it on in the background.
Even if you're sleepy, just turn the volume down.
Just put it on. Just stream us. Please.
WFHR.com?
Yep. Want to keep doing this. We want to keep doing this. We need those streaming numbers. And that speaks to another thing of the issue with radio, too. Of how well, and it's I'm saying this with a bit of humor and a little bit of sarcasm, obviously, as the audience has come to know and feel about. I can't say love. When it comes to that, we got local advertisers. We got local people we're trying to take care of. That we want to be on this radio. That get their businesses out there. We have nonprofits that advertise with us. It is so vital to the economy of having radio and having these opportunities to be able to get out there. It isn't to say that TV or newspaper isn't important as well. All of them are. We need all of these. All of these advertising opportunities. It is so vital to not only a community's economy, but a community's well-being. Like, we also, we keep you informed and hopefully we entertain you. This is the job. This is part of what the purpose of having these things.
And having local connections.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And being aware. But can't you just see like a really young car salesman and somebody walks up and they're like, yeah, show me the ones with the AM radio.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's just the
you know, and like, the what?
If they even know. Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break. Come back. Have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. At the top, we'll have CBS News catch up on all your world news. And after that, we will get into a good conversation with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We'll see if it's Michael joining us or not.
It's going to be.
Looking forward to that.
It's going to be.
It's got to be. And then we'll get into a good one right here that I have. The 10 rudest things you can do at the pool this summer. We're going to get into that a little bit later. And I want some audience participation in this stuff, too. We want to hear from you, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join Terry and I on this one. What makes the room? The top things that can give a room a good or a bad vibe. I am reminded of the Big Lebowski. That rug really brought the room together. It really brought the room together. It really did. We know, Donnie.
My gosh, when's the last time you saw that?
Yeah, a while. It's been a while. But gotta love that movie. So there are different things that can add to vibe, that can take from vibe, I would say. So does your home offer a good vibe going on? Someone polled 3,000 people to find the top 10 things that can give a space a good vibe. And taking a look at this list.
Start at the bottom.
Start at the bottom?
Yeah.
All right. So number 10, lots of places to sit. So no chairs, just floor. You can sit on the floor. No. That is a good one. That's a
I
good
think so
idea.
Too. It speaks to the, I mean, I think kind of the welcomingness, right?
Yeah,
like if there's a spot for everyone to sit, then mm-hmm. I agree.
A good temperature. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that mm-hmm. definitely seems like one that would definitely do it. Lots of plants.
Is a good vibe.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with. I have plants.
Yeah.
Mostly because of them were given to me. And so I struggle because it's not something I enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, like, I have a plant that my husband gave me when we moved in our house that we
built.
So 20 years ago.
That's awesome.
You know, so I mean, like, but I'm not really, I don't feel like I'm a green thumby kind of person, you know? But I also think I've come into places where there are lots of plants, but they're not well cared for.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yes. Yeah, you can't have that.
Yuck.
That defeats the purpose. Yes. I get this from my mom a bit, but my mom has always had some kind of plants in the house and everything. And now it seems like that's something that I look forward to when I'm at a house.
Yeah. I love Christmas cactuses. Mm-hmm. I love how they look and I, you know, and then when they bloom. And actually, when a friend of mine passed away last fall, my sister gave me an orchid and I had never had one of those before.
Yeah.
And so when you give it, it's blooming and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fall off and I'm like, oh no, now what?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So right now though, it bloomed again, probably about, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, but I have actually like 10 flowers on it and it is so pretty. And it's this bright yellow and I'm just like, oh, that's, and it's funny because everyone comments on it that comes in mm-hmm. into the room. And so, yeah, I mean, I can see that. I don't know if this falls in there with plants, but like fresh flowers too. I always think that's nice when you go somewhere and there's some, again, they need to not be on the dead side of flowers.
Yes.
They need to be, but it is a nice touch.
Flowers are definitely one of those things. Don't let them hang around longer than they should.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I got a plant recently?
No.
I got some woolly thyme.
Really?
I have a little thing for it, stuff I'm going to grow. It's awesome. It's very cool. High ceilings. Yes. High ceilings can be a waste of space. I completely understand
and
the practicality
and, a waste
and all
of
that. Yes, but I'm tall, and I like tall ceilings. It is very selfish. It is very, you know. Yes,
he's not 9 feet. Everybody, just in case you're wondering,
not even close. But I am tall and lanky, and I've always liked high ceilings. There's something also very, to me, almost relaxing about tall ceilings or big rooms like that and everything. And I don't know necessarily why, but I think that they're here or there. I don't think you need something like that necessarily. Trendy design comes in number six. Boy, is that ever a loaded thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what that means to this person is going to mean something completely different to another person. So I don't know what trendy design necessarily. I don't think that's being very specific for a reason, though, I guess.
I kind of personally have always stayed away from really trendy, but maybe more in just like your accent touches. So, you know, the rug you brought up earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe like some throw pillows. So I'm assuming we're talking about a living room or a gathering space in the house. But, you know, maybe it's the throw pillows or the, you know, if you have like a throw, if it's winter, you know, something like that. Like stuff that you can easily change out without breaking the bank.
Oh, yeah,
like I would never buy, I just me. Like I would never buy like really trendy furniture. I might put something trendy on the furniture, but things that you could change when it's become outdated.
That stuff, yeah, because again, that stuff will go outdated real quick. Yeah. And there's a lot of people with shag carpeting. There's a lot of people with shag carpeting. That didn't last very long. The trend of that didn't.
Well, it has lasted long.
Oh, it has. The carpeting has lasted
and
long.
And it was very durable and held up well. Very so, true. You know, there's that.
I actually don't hate that carpeting either.
I don't hate it either. I don't have any, but I don't hate it.
Yeah. Some light music playing.
I agree with that. Yeah, I like that. And I think, too, for me, like, not having to have your traditional radio everywhere to have music, you know, like you can have just a little Alexa or a little Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, those are
cool. Mean, because you can play whatever you want through your device, and it is nice to just have a little soft music. I agree.
A nice quiet atmosphere. So it's kind of funny coming after the music, but it can go hand in hand. And a quiet atmosphere is something that you can't always control, though.
And maybe it's, though, thinking about things like not running your wash machine, your dryer, your dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like having those kinds of noises going when you're entertaining or have people there. Maybe it's that.
Are you ever at somebody's house, you hear their washer going and immediately think about yours, that you have laundry to do or anything? I know I've done that before. So. It smells good.
That for me is like number one.
Number one with a bullet. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I can almost handle almost all of these other things to a degree as long as the place smells all right. That is the biggest one. I think that's also the hardest one. Because we get used to our own smells. We get used to our house smell. We get used to a lot of these things. And while I do think, well, how can you not know? I've known people who do keep a clean house and don't catch a smell because they just.
Oh, I agree. I think you're just used to it. Yeah. But I think if you're adding something, you know, so not just what is, you know, like you said, kind of just what is your smell? You know what I mean? But if you're doing something like wax melts or candles or something like that to add a smell, like I like that.
Yes.
I don't necessarily care about people's regular house smell.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? Like I like when something's added, you know, kind of to, especially in the winter, like you just when you have that warm smell. Does that even make sense? You know, like I think my favorite one is the name of it. So it's a wax melt, but it's called bourbon and brown sugar.
Mm.
So it just has that not like syrup, kind of like syrup, like a just a sweet smell.
Wow,
and I absolutely love it.
I got to try that. That's
I strategically
good.
Have it in the first room when you walk in the door.
Smart. Well played. Oh, that's the kind of place. And when you do those kind of things, those little extra things, that goes a long way, I think.
Yeah.
People not only have more fun at your place, they want to visit your place. They want to come by. Lots of windows.
I agree. But I'm a window person.
Yeah.
Until it comes to washing.
That's the thing. That's the first thing I thought of with these. Is like, I like windows too. But man, I hate cleaning them.
I am horrible at
cleaning them.
You know what? It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And number one on the list is it's clean. That is the number one thing on the list. Having a clean home.
See, and you know, for that, like for me, I can handle messy. I don't care about messy. You know what I mean? Like stuff sitting around, or even if I go to somebody's house, like I could care less if you got stuff sitting there. What I get cringy at is like dirty.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like there's a difference.
Big difference.
Between messy and dirty, I think.
I don't know if I have any friends that don't have kids. So if I go to their house and there's not a little mess, I would be worried. Like, where are your kids? Are they okay?
Yeah. Like,
what's going on? Like,
what have you done with them?
Yeah. But there's a difference of that and filth.
Yeah.
You know, and gunk or whatever. Yeah, there's a big difference. And that is not so much just like if that's an issue for you, don't so much worry about people coming to visit. What about you? You deserve better than that. You should not be living in scum. You should not be living in filth. You know, we'll get to your visitors in a little bit here and everything, but no human being deserves to live that way. The top things that can create a bad vibe are gross smells, it's dirty, it's too hot or too cold, no windows, and all the plants are dead. So basically everything Terry said. That is
Could
hilarious.
Can you imagine? You go that to someone's hilarious. House and they're like, oh, make yourself at home. And they put you in a room that has no windows, dead plants, it smells, and it's like 100 degrees. I mean, run. Run
or get the point, because that person is clearly either tried to tell you something or they have no idea.
Unless it's your grandma, then help her.
Yes, yes. And there, here's an interesting question that isn't brought up in this article, but I couldn't help but think of. Do you say something? Like, if it's one of these things, it is a bad vibe.
You know
or
what?
Something.
I think I think you don't, except for temperature. Yeah. I think temperature is okay. You know, like, maybe it is freezing cold. Like my mom, for instance, thinks our house is always cold. Mm-hmm. And so she'll bring something. But if she doesn't, I'm like, well, just go grab something. You know, like grab a sweatshirt or a coat or something like that. But, you know, so I think temperature is okay. I would never comment on someone's cleanliness or messiness ever.
Ever.
I mean, maybe... Well, I shouldn't say never. Like, maybe a sibling. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, what happened in here? You know, like that kind of thing. But not... But just more as conversation. Not like... You know, in a
it can't come
mean
from
way.
It can't come from a place of judgment.
No.
Just shut your mouth if it's coming from a place of judgment.
Honestly,
if you're trying to help, if you want to, hey, did you know this is that this is happening or something, that's different. I think
kind of the best, one of the coolest things about relationships, like as you build friendships, for me, family's different because you should, I mean, it just is, right? But like as you build friendships and relationships, like when you get to a point where you're so comfortable that you don't care. You know what I mean? Like I have a neighbor, and if she just comes over, I'm like, fine. Like, it doesn't even faze me if I've got stuff sitting out all over, or I'm in the middle of something. But it takes a while to get to that with people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like otherwise you want everything, or I do, you know, want everything in its place and that kind of thing. And with them, I'm just like, yeah, come on over. You know, like, it's totally fine.
I wanted to make sure to get this right. You reminded me of a Sicilian proverb. Only your real friends will tell you when your face is dirty.
Yeah. Or something's in your teeth,
yes,
or your zipper's down, or,
like,
you know,
that,
like all of that.
That's a good one. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.